If you have your Bible, again, shall we turn, please, to the book of Romans, the New Testament epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, and to the chapter 1. It is a joy to be invited along to speak at the services in Ballymoney Free Church today. We trust the Lord will bless His Word. And we certainly believe that the Lord has promised so to do. But let us, each one of us who are saved, let us, as it were, put our heart in that place where God can speak to us. Let us be open-hearted and sincere and say, Lord, speak to me from Thy truth. I want to read some of these verses from Romans chapter 1, commencing at verse 16. And verse 16, of course, is a very famous and familiar text of Scripture. Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." We'll end our reading there at that verse 24. This chapter of Romans, this chapter of the Bible is without a doubt one of the mountain peaks of Scripture. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is inerrant and eternal. But we know as we read our Bibles, and as we study our Bibles, and as we listen to the Word preached, we know there are those chapters, those portions of the Word of God that stand out. They are mountain peaks. And certainly this chapter of Romans is such a chapter of God's Word. Here we have a chapter of the Bible, a chapter of God's Word which shows us what's wrong with man and shows us God's remedy. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation." And this chapter of God's Word, it never changes. It is always the truth. It can always be applied at every age, in every land, in every culture, among all people, no matter where they are found. This is God's Word concerning man's ruin and his remedy. Therefore, this chapter of God's Word is a chapter where God reveals to us the real need of man, and certainly a chapter that we can apply to our own nation, to our own land, and especially at this time after what has happened in many parts of England during the past week. Now, if I was to say to you, what has David Cameron, Nick Clegg, and Ed Miliband got in common? I suppose they have many things in common, but one thing they all have in common, the three of them, that's the Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, and the leader of Her Majesty's official opposition, the three of them don't believe in God. Nick Clegg has publicly stated he doesn't believe in God, he is an atheist. Ed Miliband has publicly stated he doesn't believe in God, he is an atheist. David Cameron doesn't know. I suppose he's some sort of agnostic. So, the three men who hold the three most powerful positions politically in this United Kingdom, the three of them don't believe in God. You say to me, do you think there's a link between the fact that they are atheists in their mind and atheists in their heart, that there's a link between that and what happened on the streets of London, Birmingham, Manchester, and other parts of England? I most certainly do. And Romans chapter 1 provides us very clearly with that link. My text this morning is the verse 18, or at least one phrase from that verse. And bear in mind, as the Apostle Paul is writing by divine inspiration, writing to the believers at Rome, he is simply stating why he is not ashamed of this gospel of God. He is simply stating why he knows that man needs the gospel of God. And the little phrase or expression that I leave with you this morning in verse 18 are the words, on godliness and on righteousness of men. On godliness and on righteousness of men. My brothers and sisters, can I say this, that I believe in government and I believe in the police and I believe in the courts, and I believe in those things that God hath ordained that we might live a peaceable and godly life. But you know, I find today, in listening to all the commentary of the past week, I find that so many people are focusing in on the unrighteousness of men. Or when we were reading that Psalm 7, the wickedness of men. What some have called a broken society. What some have called a sick society. But very few are calling a sinful society. But I want you to notice the divine order in this text. It doesn't say the unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, because that would be putting the cart before the horse. What it says is this, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What is the difference? Well, surely the difference is this. Ungodliness refers to the fact that man is not right with God refers to his relationship with God, or indeed the lack of any relationship with God. And unrighteousness is the fact that man doesn't do right before God. Do you see the difference? Ungodliness and unrighteousness. And if you study this chapter and you consider this chapter from verse 18 to verse 28, you have there a commentary upon the fact that man is out of a right relationship with God. And then when you read verses 29 to 32, you can see there the results. Man is unrighteous. Man is unrighteous. Man is sinful. Man is lost because of sin and because he refuses to come to the Lord and receive that glorious and powerful gospel of salvation in verse 16. So always keep in mind the order. Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And I fear, and my concern would be, that men will direct their thoughts and men will direct their energies and men will direct what wisdom they have towards that which is but the results of the problem. And though they have to do that, do you remember the man of Gadara? Do you remember that man who lived among the tombs? And all that men could do was try and bind him with fetters. But he would break the bonds asunder. It was the Lord Jesus Christ coming to that man and coming into his life that set him free. And when he had that right relationship with the Lord, he was found sitting clothed in his right mind at the Savior's feet. It's ungodliness and unrighteousness. You can see that divine order. And doesn't this, brothers and sisters, this morning, in the light of all that we've seen, and the light of what we do see in our own experience, day after day, does this not reveal man's greatest problem? Man's greatest problem. Politicians have to deal with the various problems. Of course they do. We're taught to pray for them, that they will be given wisdom and help to do that. The police have to deal with the various problems. Of course they do. The judiciary have to deal with the various problems. Of course they do. But man's greatest problem is the fact that he's not in a right relationship with the Lord. Ungodliness. God's not in his life. God's not in his thoughts. In fact, I was reading an article in the paper yesterday where someone pointed out that sadly the Christian church in England has been strangely silent all week. But maybe that's a blessing when you think of who heads up so many churches today, men who don't even believe the Bible and don't even preach its truth, sadly. Here's man's greatest problem. And who can solve man's greatest problem? This ungodliness, the fact God's not in his life, God's not in his heart, God's not in his thoughts. God is far away. I suppose for many, certainly young people who were on our TVs looting and rioting, I suppose for many of them, they never have a scriptural or biblical thought about God. God's something from history, or someone from history. God is someone maybe that people used to believe in. And the Bible's a book that people used to believe in, but it's not for today. But I tell you, when you read your Bible, and I trust we're all reading our Bibles in these days, when you read your Bible, you discover this: the Bible is relevant, up to date, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This is God's Word and will be God's Word forever. Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who can solve the real problem of man? God. Almighty God has stepped into man's experience. Almighty God has come in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come seeking those who are lost. The Savior has gone to Calvary's tree. He has suffered, bled, and died. He has been raised again the third day. He is the living and eternal Savior. And He calls all to come unto Him by faith, turning from their sins and receiving Him and resting in Him, all that Christ is and all that Christ has done. And if they do that, they are saved for time and for eternity. You see, man's greatest need is this ungodliness. And I think it's a proven fact. Of course it's a proven fact. But I mean, not only amongst us, but even the world that looks on, they know that where you get people who are saved, who are born again, who believe the Word, who attend the church, who pray and who seek to do good, those people are not rioting and looting and burning. The ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. And you know, maybe when I was thinking about this, and money is being spent and more policemen are being put on the streets and so on and so forth, but perhaps what is needed most of all, and we know it is gospel preaching. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I sadly fear that the Prime Minister is ashamed of it. The Deputy Prime Minister, being a professed atheist, is most certainly ashamed of it. And the leader of Her Majesty's opposition, being a professed atheist, is ashamed of it. They'll never mention it. They'll never talk about it. Man's greatest need. You know, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 20 says there, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the greatest need. For men and women and boys and girls and young people, black or white, rich or poor, to be reconciled to God. No doubt some who rioted are from terrible backgrounds and broken homes, but others were not. Others were not. Others have good jobs and come from good homes. But you see, the problem is in the heart. The problem is in the heart. And you'll notice, how is it that we can, as ambassadors, call men and women to be reconciled to God? Because verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Isn't that wonderful? We are made the righteousness of God in him. You know, when you think of that phrase, the righteousness of God in him, that's the Christian gospel. That's the work of Calvary. That's the plan of salvation. That's what this great God has done in the person of his only begotten Son, so that we can be the righteousness of God in him. Along comes the Mormons. And the Mormons come to me, as they have done in the town of Newton Ards, and they tell me that, and you know they're so cute, they'll say, "Well, that's good that you're reading your Bible, and that's good that you believe, and that's good, and that's good, and that's good, but you also need this." No, I don't. No, you don't. Listen, if you and I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, if God has taken that righteousness and put it to our account. Heard about a preacher one time. He was on an aeroplane in the United States of America. He was sitting beside a man. They started to talk, and he asked him what he did for a living. He says, "I'm an accountant." He says, "Well, what do you do?" He says, "I'm a preacher." The preacher said, "You're an accountant." He says, "Can I tell you something?" He says, "Your books don't balance." He says, "What do you mean?" "Well," he says, your books don't balance. You're an accountant. You should know about these things, but your books don't balance." And he brought out a piece of paper, and he drew a line down the center. And on the top of one column, he put debit. And on the top of the other column, he put credit. He began to ask the man, he says, "Have you ever told a lie?" "Well," he says, "I have to be honest, I have." So he wrote down, "You're a liar." And he went down the list. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And he says, "Look at that." He says, "You're all debit and no credit. Your books don't balance." But he says, "Let me ask you this, did the Lord Jesus Christ ever tell a lie?" The man says, "Well, I suppose he wouldn't have lied." And he went down the list. And then he told him about the Savior's love and going to the cross and taking the sinner's stead. And he said to him, "Look at that. That debit can deal with your credit. And your books will balance." And men and women and brothers and sisters, that is the real need today in society, and the real need among young people, that they would be reconciled to God. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And verse 34, Matthew 22 and 34. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Notice this. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And just right there, we're all sinful. Just right there, we're all condemned. Just right there, we're all guilty. You see, man's greatest problem is this: ungodliness. Ungodliness. And then the Bible goes on there. The Lord Jesus said, verse 39, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Listen, you can't have a second if you don't have a first. So many people will focus in on this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But here's the issue. Why should people love their neighbor if they don't love God? And I only wish they had hauled Richard Dawkins into a TV studio and asked him to comment on the looting and the rioting in the cities of England. Do you know who I'm talking about? The great atheist, the man who writes all the books against God and creation and the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because is that not what we've seen? If there's no God, there's no law. If there's no God and no law, there's anarchy and selfishness. Man's greatest need is to meet his greatest problem. And his greatest problem is ungodliness. What is man's greatest need? Well, it is revealed in our text again. And we all know this and we all believe this. But let us read again Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Man needs to know he has a creator. And you come down there to verse 20, "The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen." And they're seen every day and they're seen every night. And you know, even people who I suppose aren't even evangelical Christians, I'm sure you're familiar with that song, "It's a Wonderful World." And when you hear that song, have you ever heard the line? "The bright, blessed day and the dark, sacred night." You see, God has stamped on creation. God has stamped on every day, every night, every morning, every evening. God has stamped upon it all, every plant, every animal, every fish, every bird, every creepy crawly, every man, every woman across the world. God has stamped upon them the truth that he has created them. And it's so much so that verse 20 says at the end of it, they are without excuse. They are without excuse. What is the great need then? Great need is for men and women, boys and girls, to be saved and to be transformed by this mighty grace of God in the gospel. Because verse 18, remember, says this: "This ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," notice what it says, "the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." And we can go through our Bibles and we go to the flood and we go to Sodom and Gomorrah and we can see it and we can study it. The wrath of God is revealed. It's revealed. You see, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They are revealed. And the wrath of God has been revealed. But thank God the glorious gospel of Christ has been revealed. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You know, the great thing for you and me is we are so in ourselves weak and we are so powerless and we cry out for the infilling of the Holy Ghost and we need the Lord's help to do everything that we need to do for Him and in His name. Isn't that true? We are of ourselves so weak. Ah, but notice that in this gospel, the Bible, look at that verse 16. Sometimes we miss this. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Does that not mean, though I be weak, and though I don't know everything, and though I can't argue, and though I can't maybe debate with all these great atheists and all the rest of it, surely it means this: if I can give the gospel, the power of God goes with it. And the gospel can save. If I can give my testimony to someone and point them to the gospel and give them the message of the cross, there's power there. The power of God is there. The power of God to save them. The power of God to redeem them. The power of God to deliver them. And that's why Paul says, listen, I'm not ashamed. And perhaps it is so, and I take it to my own heart, that we need again to love this gospel. And to preach this gospel and to share this gospel with everyone we can. Because there it is in that verse 18, the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of man. God is not in their life. God is not in their thoughts. God is not in their heart if they haven't submitted to Him and rested in Him and trusted in Him. And when you think that the three leading political leaders in England today, England, Britain, a land so blessed, a land God has visited, that those three men are God deniers. Oh, how we need to pray. And how we need to give out this glorious gospel. And how we need to ask God. And you know, there's a wonderful prayer in the Bible. It's in the book of Habakkuk. And I often think it's a prayer for the worst of times. A prayer for the worst of times, because there, prophet says, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. May God bless our thoughts this morning on that phrase, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. May the Lord help us to stand in this evil day and to keep on believing what the Bible says, not what Dawkins says, but what the Bible says. And the Bible has the answer. And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ.